Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Institute for Personal Development, Kriya Yoga Ashram, where total consciousness is the new frontier.
Kriya Yoga is union of the individual with the divine. Join us as we explore the practices to initiate this process.
Good morning. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. Let's Talk Consciousness. I am your hostess, Lisa Winton, and with me is Kenny Toy, also known as Swami Jayananda, founder of the Institute for Personal Development, located here in Hampton, New Hampshire. Good morning, Swami. Thank you for being here today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm doing pretty good today. How about you?
I'm doing pretty good today. Thanks for asking. And we want to thank you, listeners, for tuning in. Today on The Voice of Yoga, we will talk about Memorial Day by honoring those who have dedicated themselves to the greater whole. Join in as we continue to discuss topics like selfless service and universal order, answering questions like, why do we have war? Is it possible to have peace on earth? And if so, how can we make it happen? We will show how Kriya Yoga can be used to resolve all inner conflicts that will serve as the origins of a new harmonious global condition. Welcome to the Voice of Yoga. We are talking consciousness. And join the Kriya Yoga spiritual advance to get the light in your soul and experience selfless service. So Swami has some information about Memorial Day that I'd like to go over with you and for our listeners. And this information I get from Wynn Calendar. So Memorial Day is a United States holiday to honor and remember those who died while serving in the military. It's a day to raise our awareness about the nation's freedom and the price paid for this freedom. Every year, United States soldiers and their families pay that price. Memorial Day is a day for reverence and honoring of those who gave their lives defending the nation and its values. In 1971, Congress declared a national holiday. It also marks the unofficial start to the summer season. And also on Wynn Calendar, they have some statistics here. And there has been over 2.7 million U.S. military deaths since 1775. And the deadliest war the U.S. has participated in was actually the Civil War, with around 620,000 casualties. And also, if you have an American flag, it is customary to hang the flag at half staff until noon on Memorial Day. So Swami, I thought what we should do is go back and let's talk about what we said in the beginning of the show. Let's discuss topics like selfless service and universal order, and how does that apply to us in the Kriya Yoga model?
Well, I think when, as you're moving with a yoga practice, this whole thing of total consciousness as your goal, that in the framework of this process, you start to understand that war is really a belief. And it's a belief in two powers. It's a belief in good and evil. And it really marks a level of consciousness that we find ourselves in. And for the most part, it's really considered to be almost a hypnotic trance. I like what the Buddhists call it, Maya. Because from this perspective, we see ourselves as separate entities. And we're looking at life from a perspective of the many, as opposed to as you advance in your yoga practice and your identity starts to align itself with unity consciousness, where you now start to see that everything is one. And when we're living out from duality, which is what we always say, it's basically you're living out of fear and limitation. And from that perspective, we can get threatened by external circumstances, situations. And a lot of it has to do with the simple fact that we're identifying with a part of ourselves that is provisional. It's temporary. And with the practice of yoga and this concept of union with the divine, unity consciousness, where you no longer see yourself as a separate entity. And the Bible refers to this as the whole thing of putting off the old man and becoming new. This thing of being rebirthing into a spiritual sense of selfhood. And that means that we have to give up our personal sense of I. And selfless service becomes a practice of developing our ability to try and see this sense of connectedness before maybe we actualize the experience.
Well, I have a quote here that I also got from Wind Calendar, and this is by George S. Patton, and it states, "It is foolish and wrong to mourn the men who died. Rather, we should thank God that such men lived." And so when I was thinking about that, I was thinking that not just to think that about our fallen soldiers, but anybody who has passed on.
Yeah, that's true. And I also think that it might be collectively to our advantage to start to maybe look at people that have lived in and endeavored to develop peace rather than war. Because I think peace is a much better solution than war. I don't think that war will ever solve anything. In fact, it perpetuates itself. And until we can change that level of consciousness that we're talking about, that belief in two powers, that will start to enable us to understand ourselves as eternal spiritual beings, understand that what it is that we're typically fighting over or fighting for is oftentimes not even real based on a spiritual standard of reality. And so these are changes that maybe we could start to employ collectively that may enable us to eliminate war so that we don't have to have these, what I would consider to be, unnecessary tragedies.
Yeah, I do agree with you about that, that it is unnecessary tragedies. But I also looked at that quote and it also made me think about not to just to contemplate how these men lived, but how we all live. And as you say, like nobody ever lives and nobody ever is born and nobody ever dies. So you try to think about that a little bit more spiritually, you know, about anybody's passing.
Yeah, that starts to change your perspective. That starts to change how you approach your life. But I also like what we talk about when we talk about fighting with spiritual weapons and maybe educating ourselves with that, the simple fact that prayer is the most powerful solution to the belief in conflict. And the reason is because it eliminates the belief that we're separate. And it opens us up to a reality, this unity consciousness, this part of existence that is real. And it's referred to in the Bible as truth. And that expression, know the truth and the truth will set us free. Because the truth is that we are eternal spiritual beings. The truth is that the human is the reflection of the divine. And from that perspective, when you start to drill down with that if I am divine mind's idea, and you are divine mind's idea, and everybody else on this planet is Divine Mind's idea, you start to see that the source of all of us is the same. And as an idea of the divine, we're not material. We're not matter. And so it starts to open you up to the concept of a spiritual reality. And that is where I think we can start to find solution to a lot of the problems, because in Kriya Yoga, we call it the causal spiritual body. If we are the idea of divine mind, and divine mind is cause, then everything that is in our field of awareness, everything that comes under the heading of appearance, is effect. And what we try and do is we try and live out from effect. We try and live out from a material sense of reality, which isn't real. And from that perspective, we're kind of powerless. But if we move our attention into cause, then you can start to see that prayer can be a very effective practice to offer a solution to a lot of things that we battle over.
So let's try to answer the first question that we have in the summary. And that question is, why do we have war? What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's what I had said in the beginning. First of all, we believe that we're separate. We have a belief that we are a separate entity, and we have a belief in a reality that is limited. And so from that perspective, we're defending whatever it is that we can acquire to try and sustain ourselves. And anything that takes from that is threatening. Now, if you change your perspective and you change your identity from seeing yourself as a separate entity and starting to see that you're an intricate part of a more enduring, a more reliable reality, spirit, which is inexhaustible. There is no limit to spirit. And spirit is also pure harmony, absolute harmony. So we don't take from one and give to another. That there is plenty, there is supply for all. And so from that mentality, from that base of understanding, there's no struggle anymore. And it's a belief in one power, not two. And if there's only one power, and that power is almighty goodness, then there isn't anything out there that is threatening to it. So it gives us a whole different base of operation that I think can eliminate this concept of war.
Well, so then that should lead us into the second question, and that is it possible to have peace on Earth? And if so, how do you think we can make it happen?
Well, I think in this process of human development, where we go from unconscious awareness to self-conscious awareness to superconscious awareness, that as we start to evolve as humans and we start to see that we are eternal spiritual beings, that there will no longer be any need for war, because our whole reality will be completely established in the law of harmony, the law of absolute goodness, peace, love, and happiness. And it's not something that we have to fight for. It's not something that we have to defend, that it is our birthright as children of divine law.
You mentioned earlier about know the truth and the truth shall set us free. Can you tell our listeners about what one of the truths might be?
Well, I think the major truth that we want to focus on is that the human is made in the image and likeness of the divine. And that, I think, is a good platform to live out from.
All right, I think we'll stop right there and pause to hear a word from our sponsors. So listeners, we'll be back with you in just a few moments. Creed Yoga Theory 2 is a unique and revolutionary practice and forum designed to facilitate the growth process in human development. Apotheosis is a real experience and has an evidence procedure. You cannot lead someone to permanent change by doing for them what they must do themselves. Personal accountability and responsibility are the foundation of Kriya Yoga Theory 2. You must be engaged and devoted. Prana power brings virtue to overcome fear, wisdom to overcome ignorance, purpose to overcome selfishness, enthusiasm to overcome laziness. Kriya Yoga is a path of action, knowledge, and devotion. These sessions are a celestial positioning system to guide the individual into union with the divine. For more information or to sign up for your next session online, go to www.ipdtransform.com. Namaste.
Welcome back. For those of you just joining us, you're listening to The Voice of Yoga, and we are talking consciousness. So Swami, I also have in my research for today's show some information I was not aware of, and I came across this online, and it was actually about the red poppies being a symbol of Memorial Day. So the wearing of poppies in honor of America's war of fallen soldiers is traditionally done on Memorial Day, not Veterans Day. The origin of the red poppy as a modern-day symbol of this day was actually the idea of an American woman, Miss Moina Michael. So in war-torn battlefields, the red poppy was one of the first plants to grow. Its seeds scattered in the wind and sat dormant in the ground, only germinating when the ground is disturbed, as it was by the very brutal fighting during World War I. And the practice of wearing poppies was further inspired by a poem called In Flanders Fields, written in 1915 by Canadian soldier John McCrae, who saw the poppies in burials around his artillery position in Belgium. So now today, poppies are both a symbol of the loss of life, as well as a symbol of recovery and new life, especially in support of those servicemen who are damaged physically or emotionally. So I want to talk to you what you think about using something, you know, like the red poppy as a symbolism for Memorial Day.
Yeah, I agree with it. I think it's fine. I like anything, like you said, that has that symbolism of the cycle of death and rebirth, renewal, transformation. I agree with any of that kind of symbolism. I think it can be especially helpful when the symbolism takes you beyond the limitations of your physical reality, limitations of this belief in two powers, and becomes a vehicle or an invitation for us to explore this part of ourselves that is eternal, unchanging, permanent. And I think sometimes we get so caught up in just the drama of everything that we kind of lose that perspective.
I was also reminded of a movie that we had seen a while back. This is starring Kevin Bacon, and the name of the movie is called Taking Chance. And Kevin Bacon plays a lieutenant colonel who is charged with taking a fallen soldier's remains back home again. And I thought it was a very powerful movie and emotional on many different levels. And when I think back at it, I was definitely looking at that movie with a perception from a human being. Now, how should I look at that movie as a spiritual being?
Yeah, I think I saw the movie and it pulls you really deep into your feelings. And it reinforces a belief in, you know, sin, sickness, suffering, and death, basically, which is the opposite of understanding ourselves spiritually. And so, you know, movies like that can be helpful, I think, if you're trying to maintain the detachment, to be able to look at that, or to be able to look at anything in the outside world, any appearance, and not fear it, love it, or hate it, is, I think, the real challenge of a spiritual practice that we call detachment. And in order to do that successfully, you really have to be totally established in the truth. And the truth being that we are eternal spiritual beings. That the testimony of our senses, that what appears before our very eyes, is a false sense of existence. It's not the truth. The truth is that we are spirit. And to understand ourselves spiritually means that we have to see ourselves in the way that we are created, in the likeness of the divine, which is spirit, which is invisible and intangible. But as we start to break down the veil of human thinking, mortal mind, carnal mind, and we start to see ourselves through the perspective of divine mind, through divine intelligence, and we start to see that we are eternal spiritual beings, then these types of movies don't have the same impact on us. Because like you had said, nobody's born, nobody dies spiritually. That we are eternal spiritual beings. And when does eternity begin? When does eternity end? It has no beginning and it has no end. So what happens with this is that it pulls us into our identity as a personal sense of self. And what we're really trying to do is put that behind. And we want to try and move into an impersonal sense of spiritual selfhood. And I think from that perspective, then you're much more established in your immortality at that point. And so it makes those types of experiences smaller for me.
Well, I do want to talk to you as well. I know that the full moon that's coming up tomorrow. Is there any significance that we should make a connection between the full moon and Memorial Day?
Well, the full moon is typically always delivery day. And so what the new moon promises, the full moon delivers. And if you're dealing with the loss of someone possibly, or just the memory of what has happened historically, globally, in general, then it could be a good time for you to start to maybe think a little bit differently, especially with the moon being in Sagittarius, which is the sign of the higher mind. And there's also a grand trine that accompanies this full moon with Venus, Jupiter, and Neptune, Venus is in Cancer, Jupiter is in Scorpio, and Neptune is in Pisces. So it is a water grand trine, which would really have a pretty strong impact on our feeling function and our feeling state. And again, to try and see things more from the perspective of the higher mind rather than the lower mind, rather than the testimony of our senses, to try and see things out from the spiritual sense of permanence, the spiritual sense of harmony, peace, love, happiness, and goodness.
So in the beginning of the program, during the summary, we said that we would show how to use Kriya Yoga to resolve inner conflicts that will serve as the origins of a new harmonious global condition. So I imagine that we would want to use the higher mind for that. Well, how would we go about to do that?
Yeah, well, it starts with the lower mind. We have to try and train the lower mind to look for the higher mind. We have to start to recognize the presence of divine law. And that means that we have to move away from, or we have to move away from basically human thinking, period. That our ability to form thoughts and opinions is really of our own ignorance, and it's a belief in duality. And as scripture tells us, our sufficiency is in our belief in God. It's our belief in the one. It is our belief in the invisible and the intangible. And so that's how things would start to work, is that your whole identity would move out from the testimony of your senses, and then you would start to develop what's called faith, which is belief in what is invisible and intangible, belief in just this simple truth that we are made in the image and likeness of the divine. And then as we hold our attention and we maintain our belief and we develop faith in that, then we can start to basically start to use that as a resource that we can start to live out from part of ourselves that is eternal, all-knowing, all-loving, all-present, and all-powerful, as opposed to living from a personal sense of I, which is separate, because that's where our problems really originate, is that we have a belief in something other than God. And when we do that, it was called living in sin, but we're in error. And it's not like there's anything intrinsically wrong with it. It's just that you're in the realms of suffering and decay, and there's a much better way to approach your life. And so once you start to understand that there is kind of like this parallel universe that's going on, this kingdom of heaven that they talk about, that all we have to do is recognize it and start to live out from it. And initially you have to believe in it, but then as you start to live out from it, you start to see that the changes start to take place. And a lot of this is really backed by the discoveries of modern science today, because observation has effect on reality. And if we are thinking humanly, we are in a limited perspective of who we are. We're in a false sense of existence. But when we live out from this divine mind, when we think with God as God, then we are in the kingdom of heaven. It's the return to the Garden of Eden. And we are now backed by divine law. We are backed by truth.
Well, I think it's probably about that time we have to start closing down our show for today. So listeners, be sure to visit our website. It's www.ipdtransform.com. So once you're there, you can make comments about this show or give us ideas for future shows that you'd like us to do. We also have archived on the website all our past Blog Talk Radio shows there you can access for your continued learning experiences. So be sure to tune in next week. We'll have another great show for you. And also we have the Facebook Live sessions every Wednesday at 5 o'clock. So Swami, do you have any other final thoughts or comments about today's program?
Yeah, I would like to encourage people to maybe start changing how they're thinking, but also remember that you don't want to be a human that's talking about truth, but rather you want to be an eternal spiritual being that's living out from divine law. And with that, I'd like to wish everybody a good day. Namaste.
Thank you for listening to our program, The Voice of Yoga. This is Lisa Winton, along with Swami Jayananda. We'll be signing off. Have a wonderful Kriya Yoga kind of day. Namaste.